Does anyone feel like this table? Did you go to the show with your children by yourself without your Nami yesterday? Oh my goodness, how many children is it? We're just with two by yourself. And you got a second mortgage to cover the expenses of the show. I remember when I used to go to the show, my goodness. Who's been to the show lately? Yep. Who's never been to the Royal Show in Perth? Oh, let's pray for these people right now. The Royal Show is an experience, isn't it? It's a lot of fun as a kid. And I remember Di and I went on a date there once, didn't we? And Di used to, this is before we were married, Di used to love going on the crazy rides. I hate the crazy rides. And so because I was trying to impress Diane, I went on the crazy rides with her and ended up green in the face. But we survived it. We survived it. And we got married, still married, and never go back to the crazy rides. Once you've got the woman, you don't have to do the crazy rides anymore. Well, that's today's lesson. Amen. Make the sacrifice when you're out there, Jason. Your young lady. Thanks, Pastor Steve, for those kind words. It is a joy to help you sharpen your axes. Working with you and Yanami is an absolute joy, and just love the way you're pastoring and leading your church. And also, I admire any father who takes a couple of kids to the show by himself. Well done. Please thank your pastor for being a great pastor today. Come on. Come on. Just a bit of love, bit of care. Send your pastor a text every now and again. Tell him how much you care for them, pray for them, pray for your pastor regularly. I pray for my pastor, Pastor Jason, regularly. It's good to pray for your pastors. We're going to jump into the Bible today. I want to give you a roadmap today. That was an interesting word that you gave, brother. I don't know your name, sorry. Suresh? Suresh, am I saying that right? Oh, wow, awesome. Can you say Finkeldy? No, don't try. That's my surname, it's hard to pronounce. What Suresh was saying about being guided by the Lord, being directed in the right way by the Lord, I think it really is on track with what I want to give you today. I do want to give you a roadmap to mastering the Word of God. I want to help you navigate with the Scriptures to maximize the power of the Bible, because a primary way that God is going to direct you and is going to guide you is through the Bible. It's a number one means, I think, of the Lord actually directing us and showing us. So I'm going to jump in first into Daniel chapter 9. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descendant who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom. So the Babylonian kingdom in Daniel chapter 1, where we see Daniel as a young man serving in the kingdom of Babylon. And he was a teenager then. In chapter 9, he is probably in his 70s, more likely to be in his 80s. He'd survived all those years, 60 plus years serving in a Babylonian kingdom. Now he's serving the king in the Medes and Persians kingdom. So he's an older guy. He was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom. And in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the Scriptures. That's interesting. Daniel read his Bible. Daniel was a man who hung around the Bible. And it wasn't a Bible that was easy to get a hold of. The Bible back then was in scrolls and on papyrus, and it would be rolled out on a parchment. So it wasn't that easy to access the Bible. And generally, you'd have to go down to the synagogue and access it there and read it there. He might have had a few scrolls at home, but generally, it was a challenging thing. Pastor Greg Crome, is that you? Oh, hello. My good friend, Pastor Greg Crome from Adelaide. See you this morning. Listen to me preach. Now I feel nervous. Good to see you, bro. Good to catch up. Awesome. Beautiful. Catherine's dad. Anyway, what was I talking about? Daniel was in the Bible. He got into the Scriptures on the scroll. And as he's reading these Scriptures, he understood from the Scriptures according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet. So he's reading an Old Testament prophet, Jeremiah, that the desolation of Jerusalem will last 70 years. So he's reading through Jeremiah and he goes, oh my goodness, the 70 years is coming to an end. Wow. It kind of worked out that the time of exile that Israel was in Babylon was about to end. And he reads this in the Bible and he goes, oh my goodness, the 70 years, the exile, we can go back to Jerusalem after the 70 years of exile. So I turned to the Lord God, pleaded with him in prayer and petition and fasting and sackcloth and ashes. So as he's reading the Scriptures, he becomes aware that he's in a pivotal moment of history and that he needs to begin to pray. Talk about guidance. What should I do now, Lord? Wow, 70 years. I better seek God that his word would come to pass. And one of the great things about the Bible, there's so many benefits to being a person of the Bible, is that God will guide you at moments in your life and give you direction of where to go, what to do, how to act, what to be as a person. I think there are so many benefits of the Bible. I love the fact that you really don't know anything about Jesus unless you read the Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those four guys will give you all the information, everything you need to know. If you're just starting to follow Jesus, maybe you prayed that prayer that we prayed this morning of yielding our lives to Christ, of becoming a person of faith. You're going to find out so much about Jesus through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I found that the Bible, another benefit of the Bible, is that I'm a smarter person because of the Bible. When I finished doing the crazy rides and got married, you know what I did to understand marriage? I dove into the Bible. What does the Bible say about a husband should live? And especially for the first year of our marriage, Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. Lay down your life for your wife. And I thought, oh, wish I hadn't read that. And I thought, wow, that's a good guiding. If I sacrificially live for my wife according to the Bible, that will show her that I love her. And we've been married nearly 50 years now. Hard to believe, isn't it? We look so young and gorgeously looking and everything. But part of my understanding of marriage was discovered in the, when I'm raising kids, raising teenagers. Anyone here got a teenager in the house? Let's pause for a word of prayer. Jesus, give them grace. Give the teens grace, mum and dad grace. I go into the Bible and say, Lord, help me raise my children. Give me wisdom. If you're trying to work out things in the workplace, the Bible will show you how to live as someone in the workplace. I find another benefit of the Bible. If I want to change John, I'm the hardest person in the world to change for me. I don't know about you, but I find change challenging. I find the Bible has given me the tools, and I'm going to give you a little method a bit later in this message of how you can use the Bible to change you. You may have a problem. You may have an attitude. You may have a fear. You may have something that bothers you in your life. You may have an addiction that you want to break. You may have a kind of train of thought that you want to smash. I'm going to give you a technique and show you where the Bible can radically change your life. And I'm not talking about airy fairy unicorns, rainbows, and that sort of stuff. I'm talking about real change in you that affects how you live. I find another comfort of the Bible before I get into the roadmap and give you some tools to navigate through the scriptures. I find another aspect, another benefit of the Bible is that it's deeply comforting. One of my Sydney Swans friends yesterday, he stopped texting. He stopped in the WhatsApp group I was in. He just went quiet. And so after the game, I sent a message into the group and said, I'm sure our good friend, I won't mention his name, I'm sure our good friend is now finished off a packet of Tim Tams and is halfway through a 4-liter tub of ice cream just to deal with the pain. And I said, that's probably what I would be doing if that was my team in the grand final and got thrashed like that. We all medicate in different ways. We medicate with Panadol. You get a headache, take some Panadol. We medicate sometimes by shopping. Not mentioning anyone by name, but we all medicate in different ways. You know, food, we medicate through food. I found the Bible has amazing medication. My favorite psalm, when I'm anxious, when I'm fretful, when I'm feeling overwhelmed, you know where I go? If I need the Panadol, I'll take the Panadol. If I need the Panadine, I'll take the Panadine. But I go to Psalm 23 in my head. I just go, Lord, you're my shepherd. No, I don't want for anything, Jesus. You make me lie down. And there's many nights, isn't there, over our lives where you lie in bed at 2 a.m. You wake up and you go, oh, why did I wake up? I don't mean permanently. I mean, why did I wake up at 2 a.m.? Now I've got that little problem just going around in my head. And you know what I do when I have those nights? I'm sure you have them. I have them. I just go, oh, Lord, you're my shepherd. You make me lie down. still waters. Comfort. You comfort my soul. You heal my soul. You make a table for me. I just kind of let the scriptures roll around in my head. And you know what it does to me? It just calms me down. It's like pain relief for my soul. Medicate. So I want to show you how I work with the Word. Let me give you a roadmap. I'm going to jump into Deuteronomy 17. I'm quite surprised the number of people who actually don't know this little passage of Scripture. In fact, I was sharing it with a pastor this week on the phone. He said, where is that? I've never read that. I've never heard that before. So let me take you into the Scripture, which I think is just wonderful. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 18. When he takes the throne of his kingdom, and it's an instruction to the kings of Israel, he is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of this law. So the king actually had to sit down on a scroll, and more than likely it was the book of Deuteronomy. I don't think it would be all Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, a whole lot. More than likely, I think it leans towards being Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy is about the biggest size scroll you can get. There's only so many words you can fit on a scroll because they roll up and they get too heavy to carry and transport. So Deuteronomy would have been a huge scroll. He is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of this law so the king could actually read and write, which is fairly rare back in that day. Taken from that of the Levitical priests. It is to be with him. It's to be with him. And he is to read it all the days of his life. So the king was expected to write Deuteronomy out. Interesting exercise to actually write the Bible out. If you've never tried it, give it a go. Write down Psalm 23. Spend a bit of time this afternoon with Psalm 23. It won't take you long. And write it out. You'll be amazed because your writing is always slower than your reading. And it'll slow you down. It'll let that scripture kind of get into your veins. And he is to read it all the days of his life so that, why should you read the Bible? Why should you get into the Bible? That you may learn to revere the Lord his God. Getting into the scriptures will make you worship better. You'll be filled up. You spend this week in the scriptures, you'll be filled up, ready to sing and worship the Lord on Sunday. And also that you may follow carefully all the words of this law. You'll know exactly what to do. You'll be guided and directed by the words of the law and these decrees. And not consider himself better than his fellow Israelites. You got a problem with pride? The Bible will help keep you humble. It allowed him to see himself as just another person, not just a king, but just another person. And you won't also turn from the law to the right or to the left. You'll walk the right path. Then he and his descendants will reign a long time over the kingdom in Israel. Here's a promise that if you stay in the scriptures, if you read the Bible, if you get into the Bible, man, you will have a life where you can reign in life, where you can be a king, a queen in life, when you can reign over you. Because I think that's the hardest part to reign over. You can reign over your own heart and mind because of the Bible. So over the years of my life, I've been a Bible person. Oh, I'm going to keep that there. That's a giveaway I'm going to give out at the end. I know it's a very boring sermon, so I'm using every prop I can to keep you with me today. What have I got in here? Oh. This is my first Bible. I bought this over 50 years ago. They reckon if your Bible is falling apart, you probably aren't. There it goes. There's a page out of the front. It's a New American. Thanks, bro. Appreciate that. I'll get the wife to fix that up when we get home. She can sticky tape that together. It's a NASB Bible, and there's a kind of few things in it, and there's a lot of reading of it. You can see it's worn out, but I've kept it because I'm going to give this, if I have the opportunity before I pass, I'm going to give this to one of my children or one of my grandsons. I'm going to pass it on to them as a family heir to them, and they can pay to get it fixed. I'm going to give it to them as a worn-out Bible, let them know that Dad and Granddad ruined Bibles. But this one is interesting because back then I had a bit of a philosophy of you don't mess the Bible up too much. There's a few markings, a few notes here and there, but I eventually changed that philosophy. Well, let's take a risk. There we go. Because, I have my great-grandfather's Bible. It was my granddad's, my pop's. Never knew my great-grandfather. And this Bible is somewhere in the 19th century. Can you imagine trying to read that? I mean, you're not that old, Stephen, but still, that's impossible. That is just such small print. But you know what I found, and what discouraged me, is that there's nothing written in this Bible except the names of his three children, one of whom was my grandfather. And there's a scripture written in the front, and also a little bit of a kind of signature name thing from February the 15th, 1882. And I love this Bible. That's going to go to one of my children, probably, or one of my grandsons, that Bible, because it's a family heirloom. But, you know, when I kind of saw it wasn't marked, I decided to do something different with my Bibles. This is a TYB Bible. You know what TYB stands for? Trash Your Bible. It's actually called the Trash Your Bible. On this page, of every scripture page on this Bible, there is something written. I used this Bible for about 2 years, and I started this thing that I'm still working on, where I would sit down and read my Bible, and I would think about my daughter Erin, my firstborn, and I would read the scriptures, and I would try and write something in the column for her, and I would read through, and I'd underline things, and I've trashed this Bible. It's not that worn out, because I only used it for a couple of years, because I moved on to another Bible that I'm working on for my son. But I believe that your Bible should be ruined. They should be falling apart, like that one down there. They should have things written in them, things that are written there where the Lord spoke to you and guided you. Because the Lord is going to guide you and direct you through this. You're going to be reading one day and you're going to see a scripture and go, oh, that's a really, wow, that feels great. I'm just going to hang around that scripture. I meant to read a couple of chapters. So I'm not reading a couple of chapters. I'm stuck on a verse. I'm going to write on it. I'm going to highlight it. Mine's pretty well in the same sort of pen, but maybe you're a highlighter person. Who likes using highlighters? Go nuts on your Bibles with highlighters. And if you're a chaotic sort of person, have colors that mean nothing. That you just meant you liked that verse at a particular time and you just, yeah, the first highlighter you picked up was red and that's red. Someone will ask you, what's the red scripture mean? Well, it means that I had a red highlighter in my hand at the time. That's what it means, actually. Trash your Bible, because I don't want to have the experience my grandsons, my great-grandsons, my great-great-grandsons. I don't want to have the experience of picking up my Bibles and there's nothing in them. I wanted to open up and go, man, good grief. He even read Lamentations. Look at that. He read Ezekiel. Who reads Ezekiel? He's even got notes on Leviticus. Trash your Bibles. Get a hold of them. But you know the great thing today is some of you aren't readers at all, are you? You don't like reading. You're not a reader. I'm going to really take a risk here. Here we go. Some of you prefer to listen. And here's the beauty of today. On this thing, I don't know why we call it a phone, because we hardly ring anyone. It's really a camera, isn't it? More than anything else, it's probably a camera these days. But on here, you can get the YouVersion Bible app. It's been downloaded, I think, now hundreds of millions. Who's got the YouVersion Bible app on their phone? Have a look around. Look at all of you. Good on you. Anyone else got the Logos Bible software app? No, that's just me. Okay, because I've been a pastor. YouVersion Bible. If you don't like reading, get the YouVersion app. And you know what you can do? You know what I do occasionally? I'll put it on in my car, and I'll Bluetooth it up, put it in its little stand, and I'll hit the Bible, and I'll binge the Bible for 20 minutes. And if I feel like, gee, I haven't read Lamentations for 27 years, I put it on 1.5 speed because I don't want to hang around Lamentations too long and just brrr through it. I have a friend. This guy is slightly crazy. He's a pastor. He does a lot of driving because he's got a church with three locations, not just two. He listens to the Bible from beginning to end in 90 days and then starts again. He's been doing it for quite a few years now, 90 days through the Bible. I tried it once, I gave up, couldn't do it. He goes on 1.4 speed or something like that. He just binges on the Bible. If you want to know anything about the Bible, I ring Rowan. He just binges on the Bible. You know when you're in your car and you got the radio on? Why don't you try the Bible for a while? Why don't you have a listen? Why don't you just get that app and binge on the Bible? Maybe when you're driving around. In fact, let me challenge you, every single one of us. Those of you who haven't got the Bible on your phone, if you're not sure how to get it, go to the App Store, the Play Store, you'll find it. Just search Bible, you'll find the YouVersion Bible. Get someone to help you download it, how to listen to it. And I want you to binge a bit of the Bible this week. Who here has never done a Netflix binge? Yep, I thought so. Two of you. We're all used to getting on the show or on YouTube. Oh, watch this, what next video. Why not this week binge the Bible? I'm going to give you a challenge. Come on. You up for the challenge? Yeah, maybe. I'm not making any public commitments here, John. See what you got else. Binging the Bible, if you want guidance, if you want direction, if you want clarity in your life, the scriptures can give it to you. And I think maybe do a bit like this king, maybe even spend some time writing out Psalm 23, maybe getting into that scripture and really honing into it. Okay, a second roadmap, second navigation tool to master the Word of God is in Acts 17:11. Now, the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness. These Jewish believers, they heard the gospel preached by Paul and his team, and they thought, wow, this is awesome. And look what they did. They examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. They examined the scriptures. This is more than reading and listening. This is doing a deep dive. The word examine means to look at in detail, to judge, to discern, to really mess around with it. And because I've been a pastor, I've had ample opportunity to dive into the Bible and study. But before I was a pastor, I used to study the Bible. Still study it today, but I want to show you. You can tell I keep things. I'm a bit of a hoarder of stuff that I like. When I was a young guy, living with mum and dad by myself as a young believer, I went to, it must have been a newsagent's, and I looked for a notebook, and I got an accountant's book. Now, I don't know why I bought an accountant's book. Maybe it was the only notebook. It's got commercial legal terms listed on the back. I don't know what I was doing with this book, but I got into the Bible, and I would sit at my desk, and here was my study on the life of Jesus. And I'm going through Luke, and I've got verses and things, and I'd sit there with my Bible and an old book called The Strong's Concordance. Oh, yeah, some of you are you're old as me. Yeah, The Strong's Concordance. I remember that one. Nowadays, we've got a thing called the internet. Don't need The Strong's Concordance. And I would sit there at my table, and I'd read the scriptures, and I'd write out my notes, and I'd look up Strong's Concordance and look up other words, and I'd dig around in the Bible. You know one of the reasons I love the Bible? Because I studied it, because I got into it. Today, you don't need to go to the newsagents and buy an ideal account book to write your notes in. You can go to YouTube, and you can watch videos by the guys called The Bible Project. Who's ever watched a Bible Project video? They're astonishingly good. If you think, man, I don't understand the Bible. I'm not sure what's going on. John keeps talking about Lamentations. Does he mean Lamentations, or is it a book of the Bible? What is it? You go to YouTube, type in Bible Project Lamentations and watch a video, and it'll give you some study into the Bible. You'll start to examine it at a deeper level, because for some of you, the Bible feels overwhelming. It feels too much. It feels beyond you. It feels, well, that's good for you pastors. And Pastor Stephen has to study the Bible because he's got to preach. And Pastor Charlie, he's been around. He's heard a million sermons. He's got the Bible going. That's all right for you guys, but I don't get it. Get onto YouTube. Has anyone here never watched YouTube? It's amazing. What an amazing gift YouTube is to us. You get into it and get on the Bible Project and do some study. You may even go down to, what is it, Typo? Is that the place where you can buy all sorts of journals and stuff? There's places you can go, you can buy really pretty books. Or if you're a bloke, a leather-bound book. And then you know what you could do? You could, Pastor Stephen, come up here. Come up here. You can bring this to church. Come here, bro. I love this. Look at this. He's the pastor of the church. He's sitting up, show the people what you're doing down there. Okay. Isn't this gorgeous? You're not writing your calendar for the week. No, he's writing notes while I'm preaching. How cool is that? That is the best way to stay away. Oh, come up here. You come. No, you don't want to come. I love it. You get a little bit of paper and write. One of the best ways to stay awake in a sermon is use props. But then take notes, write notes. Thanks, bro. Sit down. Give your pastor another round of applause. Look at him. Just write down a few things. These days you can do it on the phone. You take a few notes, you can deep dive. It doesn't take long to deep dive because this book changes lives. I think think I need a drink, sweetie. Would you mind bringing me that little bottle there? Oh, sure, you're a good man. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you, sir. Amen. Thank you. Bless you. Amen. Lord, give you a great reward for that. Study. Do this sort of stuff. You know why I keep this? Because I want my kids, when I die, to actually go through, what's Dad got here? Has he got an accountant's book? We'll find out where all his money is. I go, oh my goodness, look at Dad. He's written notes in his horrible printing. Look at that. There's notes there. Book of John, Book of Luke. Oh, wow. I would love, you know what, Lord, I really love this. I would love my great-grandsons to find this one day. Because I want them to know I love the Bible. I studied the Bible. I just didn't listen to it. Lamentations once and 1.5, and that was it for the rest of my life. I studied it. I dug into it. I found out what was going on. And because I know if I do that, I'll live a different life. Third way. Two more to go. This is a really interesting thing in Psalm 190. The whole of Psalm 190, longest psalm in the Bible, is all about the Bible. It's a fascinating psalm to read. But I want you to notice this concept that appears Psalm 119, verse 15, 16. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. You're going to see a little bit of a theme merging here. Verse 23. Though rulers sit together and slander me, your servant will meditate on your decrees. Your statutes are my delight. Verse 47. For I delight in your commands because I love them. I reach out for your commands, which I love, that I may meditate on your decrees. Again, delight, meditate. Verse 77. Let your compassion come to me that I may live, for your law is my... Thank you. May the arrogant be put to shame for wronging me without cause, but I will on your precepts. There's a connection between loving the Bible, delighting in the Bible, and meditating. So I just don't read the Bible. I don't just listen to it. I don't study it. I meditate. And this is how I do it these days. Now the weather's warmed up, I start my morning walks again. And I'll go for a walk, and it's a prayer walk. It's an enjoy the ocean walk. We live by the beach. I walk down there. And after about 20 minutes, it's unbelievable, but I run into a cafe. It's just a glorious experience while I'm out there praying. Oh, there it is, my cafe again. And I walk in and they look at me and say, you're regular? Long black? Yep, thank you. They know me down there. I have a long black and I sit in the cafe and I pull out my Bible on my phone because I got paper Bible, I got digital Bible, and I'll pull up my Twitter feed, get some news. I'll check out the price of Bitcoin on that little app. I'll check what my mates are saying on WhatsApp, and then I'll drink my coffee, and then I'll go Bible time, and I'll go into the Bible, and this is what I do in the cafe. I meditate on a couple of verses. Now, in the Hebrew, the word meditate actually means to mutter. It doesn't mean to think. It means to look at and talk about it. So this is how I would meditate. Can we get that? Yeah, that last verse is still up there. Could you put that last verse back up there? Yeah. This is how I meditate. Let your compassion... Compassion. Compassion's kindness, thinking about others, loving. That's kind of movement. Let your compassion come to me. Wow. Okay, Lord. And then you know what happens when I start to meditate? I automatically start to pray. Oh, Lord, especially in the Psalms. Lord, let your compassion come to me. Lord, show me your compassion today. Show me your love today. Thank you, Lord. You're not judging me. You're not criticizing me. You're not putting me down. You're not ashamed of me. You love me. You're compassionate towards me, that I may live. Oh, wow. So if I get the love of God coming to me, then the life's going to flow through me and to me. I like that. And I'll do this in the cafe. I just mutter to myself. But don't worry. Other people look at you and think you're a bit strange. That's all right. There's many strange people in lots of cafes. Just be one of them. I don't care. I'm at an age where I don't care. Whatever. For your law is my delight. Oh. It's Bible. It's thank you for the delightful. It's so delightful. It's delicious. And I start thinking about what delights me. Being married to a gorgeous woman delights me. My little grandsons. My 14-year-old Jack, who is now 6'3", taps me on the head. Hi, Granddad. You like doing that, don't you, Jack? It's a delight to me. Lord, let your Bible be that delightful to me. May the arrogant be put to shame for wronging me without cause. Wow, Lord. Arrogance leads to shame. Jesus, help. I don't worry about arrogant others. I go, help me not to be arrogant, Jesus. Cleanse me. Wash me. But I'll meditate on your precepts. And I'm currently meditating through Galatians. I can go for a walk this morning because I'm ready for coming here. And tomorrow morning, I'll be out in my cafe. I'll have the Bible out and I'll be meditating my way through Galatians, just muttering. And it'll be sometimes 3 minutes, sometimes 5 minutes, sometimes 10. Sometimes I'll leave it, check Twitter again, check the news, back into the Bible, check to see if Bitcoin's gone up or down, see what's going on in the Bible. And you know the beauty of what meditation does? Is you can remember it during the day. It comes back to you. You think about the compassion. You think, oh man, I read about compassion. And you might bump into someone that actually needs some compassion. You think, I'm going to show that because God's showing it to me. And you just begin to chew on the scripture. You actually, you know what meditation does? It makes you hungry for Jesus. It makes you hungry for spiritual life. It makes you hungry for the Bible. Some of you, I've been praying for you guys this week that by the time I finish, you'll have a rumbling in your belly for the Bible. That you'll be going, oh, got to get in my car and get that binge listening going. You could binge listen to the Bible on the way home. Way better than 6PR talkback, people yakking on and complaining about junk. Way better than listen to the cricket or the footy or anything on the road. You can get that scripture going. Last one. The Bible is the way to change your life. Psalm 56, verse 3 is a precious scripture to me that I memorized. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. About over 30 years ago, I did a short flight from Port Hedland to Karratha, and I don't know who was flying the plane, but it was a horrible flight. We were bouncing around everywhere. And up to that flight, I loved flying, loved getting on planes and any sort of trip, I'd love it. When I got off that flight, I had a terror of flying because of that flight. I really thought we were going to crash and we're landing. I thought, it's all over, John. You're finished. You're done. Oh, people are coming to get my Bibles. No, this is the wind-up clock, obviously. Okay. Anyone else want to come up? We seem to be getting invaded up here on the platform here. I got off that plane with a deep-seated fear of flying that lasted for 3 years. And pretty well every flight I got in for 3 years, I would end up white-knuckle arm-wrestling. And the plane didn't have to do anything for me to go white-knuckle fear. It was just panic attack, sitting on a plane. It's very hard to get on a plane when you're flying. Get off a plane. You can't get off. You're stuck there. So what do they do? I memorize the scripture because I know the scripture can defeat fear. I know the Bible is a sword that can cut through that disgusting anxiety, fear, worry thing. And I memorized the scripture. And for 3 years on planes, I sat there with that panic going in my heart, going in my head, what time I'm afraid, I'll trust in you. What time I'm afraid, I'll trust in you. What time I'm afraid. I wouldn't say it out loud. I didn't want to get kind of arrested on the plane. But what time I'm afraid. And I would repeat it over and over and over and over till the fear died. Thank you, Lord. It took me 3 years of doing that to conquer that fear. In the last 13 years of Grow Healthy Church, I've done 547 flights. I wouldn't have been able to do that if that thing had conquered me. If you've got a problem, if you've got a heart issue, if you've got something that's trying to defeat you and may have defeated you, get into the Bible. Find a verse, memorize it, and get it going in your heart whenever that thing comes. Maybe you've got a jealousy thing. Find a Bible verse about jealousy. Memorize it. Get it going in your heart. If you've got a problem with lust, with immorality, get a Bible verse in your heart. Defeat that thing. If you've got a problem with pride, get a Bible verse. Defeat that thing. The Bible is a sword that will cut enemies down. You can build a phenomenal life. Some of you are still very young. You've got a lot of decades ahead of you. Can Can I say to you, as someone who's getting older, is that the Bible can build a great life. The Bible can build a flourishing life. I want to give away a book. My wife wrote a book called Unlock Your Bible. It's a brilliant book. It's outstanding. It goes into far greater detail of some of the things I've pinched. I did write this sermon myself. I didn't pinch it from Diane's book, just so you know. I don't plagiarize sermons. I want to give this away, and I want to give this away to a fairly newish Christian. If you've come to the Lord in the last 2 or 3 years, given your life to Christ, give me a wave. Oh, you have down here? Okay. I saw you when we were coming in. There you go. There you go. You knew. The Lord was already telling you your Bible. Okay, now, I want you, every single person in this room, I'll tell you what my commitment is from my sermon. I'm preaching to myself. Good, John. Well done. I'm going to do a binge listen to the Bible this week. Don't do it that often, but I'm going to do it this week. So every day that I'm out driving, Monday to Friday, I'm going to pull the YouVersion Bible up and I'm going to whack it on and do a binge listen. I don't know if I'll do Lamentations. I'm not promising Leviticus. But I'm going to do a binge. What are you going to do this week? What are you going to do different? You going to join me in a binge listen? Maybe you're going to get on YouTube and find the Bible Project. You may never have heard of it. And watch a few videos. You get it on your smart TV these days. Pull it up in the lounge room. Turn off all the blood and murder and the violence for a night. And run a few Bible Project videos. Maybe you've never really meditated. Stopped. Maybe write out Psalm 23 and meditate on one of the verses. And kind of let it sink into your heart and pray it. What are you going to do this week? Maybe you're going to do nothing. Some of you are thinking, well, you know, whatever. John, can you finish so I can get my coffee? But I want to challenge you today. What are you going to do? I know what I'm going to do. I want you to make a decision where you sit. Some of you might feel like the Bible, I don't even know where to start. If you don't know where to start, Gospel of Mark is a great place to start because it moves really rapid. It's about Jesus and it's short. And if that's too long for you, just go in the New Testament to a guy called Jude. Those of you who know the Bible now are laughing because you know it's one page. It's hardly anything. What are you going to do? I am being a really nasty preacher right now by putting you on the spot. What are you going to do? You don't have to yell it out. But I want you over coffee. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to tell someone over coffee what you're going to do. And those of you who are a bit more go-getty, I want you to ask the person, what are you going to do? Just be as nasty as me. What are you going to do this week? If they say, I'm doing nothing, go, well, that's a bit silly. Let me pray for you. Jesus, I'm asking that wherever we're at with our Bibles, that you would cause us to commit to them in a brand new way, in such a way that the Bible will become a fresh vehicle in our lives. Lord, give us grace, give us anointing to move into loving and delighting in your precepts. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.